only original, still the best, now for more than 12 years. Is Radio Free Cybertron, hosted by Brian Kilby, with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, Peter Van, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformers news, visit tformers.com.
And this is Radio Free Cybertron. I am your host and friend, Brian Kilby, and I have Ratchet. I think most of us at this point actually have Ratchet, but no, I especially like him.
Nah, I don't have him.
I like it. I have two, actually. I have two Ratchets, thanks to Chris Triplett.
Heather has two Ratchets.
Aww, yes.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I like it. He's really nice. So, there you go. Hey, this is Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show, and one of the world's first podcasts. We've been doing this since 1999, if you can believe that. I'm your host, Brian Kilby.
Except for the 7 years we didn't.
Screw you, XV. I'm your host, Brian Kilby, and with me, I have XV, Peter Van, Amy Morgan, a.k.a. Lady Wreck, Rob Clay, and John Luna. Nicole and JD are out this week. JD is dying of cancer. So,
oh, my gosh.
Hey, I've had two parents die of cancer, and I will die of cancer, so I can go there.
Wait. Is this for real, JD?
No.
Okay. Help me. Don't do that to me, damn it!
You'll be back next week.
I was like, "What?"
Yeah, I'm terrible.
Because I will be the gullible one, and I'll believe you.
JD will be back next week to transform your day into an adventure.
Yes, okay. He will. So I just want to go ahead and make an announcement for people who watch live. We are changing our date and time for the second time in our history. We are moving to Thursdays at 8 Eastern time, 5 Pacific. That would make that 7 Central, 6 Mountain, and 00 GMT, I think. So there you go. So starting, our first show in April will be, that's not an April Fool's joke, but our first show in April will be on Thursday. If you listen to the podcast, that would be the worst, lamest April Fool's joke ever.
Hey guys, we're changing the day and time. Oh, kidding. Hey, where is everybody?
We're awful.
That's going down next week. So, tune in for that. And actually also this is our, third party roundup week. So we're going to do it a little different this week. We're going to go through the news, the third party news here in a few minutes, and our topic instead of being the actual roundup will be a topic around the news, but, we'll do that. Actually, also, one more thing. If you're watching us on YouTube or live, thank you very much. We appreciate it. The podcast version this week will be a little longer because we're going to have some extra content that was provided to us by Rob and John. So if you're listening to the podcast, you're in luck. So, and if you're watching us live, download the podcast 4 or 5 times. I would appreciate it.
And give us a good review, too.
Yes, give us a good review on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. Hey, okay. So, Peter, why don't you go ahead and take this news article? Have you got the show notes up? Do I need to prime the pump?
No, you can.
Prime the pump.
I think you've pumped enough, sir. I think you've done enough
pumps. I've got two pumps and a bump.
Congratulations. All right. So, FunPub sent out an email yesterday saying they actually revealed what happened to their security breach. And turns out it was a simple SQL injection attack, which is a lot of fun if you are a novice hacker. So I don't know if you guys have done any hacking in your lifetime, but... This, as we were talking in the pre-show, it's kind of like a notch above a DDoS attack, which is the denial of service, which is consistently just a bunch of people just consistently ping a server. So what happens is, in layman's terms, in very simple terms, a SQL injection code, literally all you have to do is, if it's not shielded and all of the strings are showing in the URL, all you have to do is... say, hey, this is what's going on, and I found out the schema of this table, and I'm able to access, update, delete, edit all the table, all the schema information in a SQL database just by manipulating a form or a URL. FunPub is actually, apparently they said that they have an ISP that watches for this stuff, but that is quite rare. That actually doesn't happen quite often. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that Fun Publications does not care about your security whatsoever, at least not anymore, or not previously, because now they're actually paying somebody who actually knows what they're doing.
So they basically got taken down by like a script kiddie or something.
It's not even, there's somebody who can run a code that runs your, that just surfs the net, surfs the web for any type of vulnerabilities. And like, hey, look at this, check this out, go play with this schema. And he's like, okay, yeah, sure, why not? And I don't know why they thought this was a good idea. There are very simple ways to get around SQL injection, actually.
One of those ways is to actually buy professional e-commerce software and not hand code your own.
Exactly, yeah. It's very simple, actually. I kind of assume somebody would, if they learn SQL online or Cold Fusion online, they would say, hey, look at this. I figured out how to do a SQL table. Congratulations. And then they decided that they didn't go the next step. Security, read this because it's good for you. Like, I don't need that. I'm actually going to paste into the chat there's a section called mitigations in this page on this website, and it actually shows you how easy it can be to keep yourself from this attack, which basically all you have to do is say, oh, instead of taking the access of one schema table, in one fell swoop, you parse that request. And you also limit the ability of people who are not logged in as an administrator that's like hard right into your server to manipulate this data. It's simple. It's very simple. And pretty much as I read more and more about this, because I actually have never done this hacking stuff or anything like that. So as I was reading more and more about SQL injection, I learned more and more about how easy and how pretty much repulsive this is, the fact that they did not take the time to safeguard club members' data at all. They didn't safeguard your address. They didn't safeguard your credit card information, your email, anything like that. Or your password, even.
Why wouldn't they do that?
They were being irresponsible. Sorry.
Because they are fucking retards.
Oh.
Well, that's a little farther than I would have gone. But
no, at first I was like, wow, a SQL injection hack. That sucks. That sounds really, really terrible.
There goes that Twitter follow of ours.
But we lost a follower. Yeah, I'm sorry. I cursed. I apologize.
No, the fun pub. Never mind.
I'm glad I have earphones in. Kids don't need to hear that language.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I am not a club member anymore. I used to be. But it's just that the nature of my job has a lot to do with security and things you need to keep in mind when things, just in general, we live in a web, an internet world now, and e-commerce and all this other stuff. And you have the right to your business.
Security?
You have the right to expect security. It is a given right. It is, you should definitely say, hey, look, business, I'm running a business. You should no longer take security for granted. Nobody's going to attack me. Because I charge people $600 a year for toys, and it's not going to, per person, it's not going to catch any, nobody's going to notice. This is a lot of money that people are obviously going to say, hey, look at all these credit cards that we can just steal from people. it's just, I mean, it's just, it's absolutely ridiculous that they could not easily safeguard this information.
Yes.
It sounds
and
like
I could keep going, but I would like to hear what you guys have to say as well.
From your description, it sounds like this is not just the equivalent of leaving your door unlocked in a bad neighborhood, but wide freaking open.
And then say, and then posting on the door, free stuff.
Okay, I'm going to give a half-hearted, lukewarm defense.
Come and take it. It's ready for you to take.
I'm going to give a half-hearted, lukewarm defense, and that half-hearted, lukewarm defense is this: as a guy who like runs a podcasting network, sort of, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you have to be accountable for, and FunPub is it. They have to be accountable for payroll, have to be accountable for all of the money that comes in, the money that goes out, logistics with, you know, the exclusive toys. They have to, you know, manage BotCon. And there's a lot of stuff, and things can fall through the cracks. But with that being said, managing customer data and the security around your e-commerce platform should be priority number one.
And sorry, like this is not, it's something that can fall through the cracks. This is not when you're developing this guy, whoever developed this for FunPub did it by scratch or by hand or whatever. It took them like years to do it. Right. You used to have to fax this crap to them. So they're like, let's build ourselves a SQL database that can store this information. Yay, no, internet.
SQL's just a base. A SQL database can be just be like a text-limited flat text file, can it?
Oh, yes. You can store it on
My website uses figureviews.com uses a SQL database, and it's where all the stuff is stored just in a plain text format. We're not dealing with any secure information, though. So, I mean, it serves our purposes conveniently, but we're not also carrying everybody's credit card numbers.
You can build a SQL database. I mean, it's plain text, so you can probably still fit it on a 3.5-inch floppy.
Yeah.
This
we're close to it anyway.
We're close to it. Yeah. I mean, you could probably or two. Okay, I'm sorry. 2 3.5-inch.
The thing is, there are a lot of inexpensive. I've been looking at this for some businesses that I work with, consult for, or you know, like my own like business that I thought about starting. There are a lot of platforms where you can build an e-commerce solution easily that would totally accommodate what FunPub needs. Intuit does something like that. They have their own platform for e-commerce where you can actually manage your whole website and everything through them. I don't see why FunPub couldn't, you know, put forth the minor expense. I think it would be cheaper to have a hosted solution like that than it would be to actually have someone on hand to manage, you know, the site.
Well, I think with FunPub, what it is, they've got one of their regular people who is able to do this.
I've been that guy. That does suck.
You're using able in a very loose manner.
I mean, you know, they have a book and they can write down the code.
So basically, we can get past this. But my thought around the whole thing is this: my thought around the whole thing. Thanks, Kim. Kim just brought me a cherry Fanta Zero from Burger King. So, okay.
Aww.
Yeah, she's wonderful. Aww. I appreciate her.
Burger so that's
the reason for the little stumble there. So, my thought around the whole thing is this. So, the issue, you know, that it's one thing that we know what the issue is, but just the handling of the whole problem has been horrendous. Like, when I was reading this, not only did they say, well, this is what happened, they also had to post examples. Well, this has happened to other people too.
Yep.
And, you know, and
those had nothing to, those were just breaches, but those actually had nothing to do with a SQL injection hack. Those were far harder. I mean, I'm pretty sure iTunes gets hit with SQL injection hacks every day.
Yeah.
And it just bounces right off because they have the safeguards for that kind of
thing. But I mean, it's just the whole handling of it has been kind of iffy. But
I mean, this stems from someone's ignorance. And the handling of it stems from someone's inability to handle public relations in a competent manner.
Yeah.
I just think the fact that they're pushing it on and saying oh, this is a hacker issue and blah, 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 and stuff like that, is it's ridiculous. They're trying to push this responsibility off from themselves.
So,
and in the world of e-commerce and in the world of taking people's credit cards and charging them money, you know, charging them money to give you toys and stuff and setting up that something, you cannot take security for granted.
I really recommend that they pick up and read the book Guerrilla PR. That did worlds of good for me, so I really appreciated that. So,
and the fact that Hasbro put out a statement, you know, a couple weeks ago saying, oh, you know, they're working on it and blah, 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 that's not enough.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, I mean, I usually don't take a lot of people, you know, the economy we're in and stuff like that. People don't deserve to lose jobs and stuff, but they deserve to lose this license at the least.
Oh, I don't want to go that. No, I'm not going to go that far. Everybody screws up. They learned their lesson.
No, I'm
not really prepared. I'm not prepared to engage in that discussion in this forum right now.
Yeah. So definitely that's not something that I, yeah. That's
a lot. I was going to say, it does reflect bad on Hasbro when they make decisions like
that.
This.
That is true.
You know, so Peter does have a point. It does reflect bad on Hasbro. So
yeah, it does. It absolutely does.
It paints them in a bad light that they don't care about your security and they don't care about the fans.
And I'll say this. The reason that I don't think that. I don't think that this has been such a big issue. It has been a huge issue. It's been a PR disaster for FunPub. But if FunPub didn't do BotCon, who would do BotCon? I mean, we've had people before.
And that's basically been my point on this. Every time somebody says, I hope they lose the license.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not stepping in and doing it.
There's nobody apparent to come in and take that up next year.
But this has nothing to do with the fact that they're running. You know, their business practices
it's been a huge stink. But I mean, compare BotCon 10 years ago to BotCon today. BotCon today blows it away, you know, in every conceivable way.
Actually, 10 years ago, wasn't it OTFCC?
No, it's still BotCon. It was OTFCC in 03 and 04.
I don't think it has any. I'm not basing it on how well they've done BotCon from when they picked it up to now. That's not what I'm basing on.
Right. I know.
It's as a company, Hasbro can't be like, yeah, good, oh, that's a shame. You can do better next time, buddy. You keep going.
Well, you know, I mean.
And here is a question, this is not the time or the place, I respect that, and we can do it some other time, but there are other Transformers conventions, there are other places for fans to meet. If they lose the license and there is not an official Transformers convention,
there are lots of small ones.
What have we lost?
Right. Exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
One of the small ones would rise up.
TFCon in Canada.
TFCon does a great job. You know, from all reports, I've not been, of course. So, you know, Sean Casey is putting on SavCon, and he's doing a fantastic job already with that.
And
we'll be there.
He's using pre-thought, you know,
and
showcase, you know, things that have already been proven to do your security, to put your security first.
Yes.
And he's not building by his own two hands a website to take your credit card and store it in a plain text file.
Yeah.
It's been kind of amusing through all this to watch Peter froth at the mouth.
Peter's angry. I've never seen
Peter so angry.
So what will make Peter feel better is Fanta Cherry Zero from a Coke Freestyle machine. I love this. Has anyone else tried one of these?
No.
So basically, they just gone national. Apparently, they've been in tests for like 3 years. But it's basically a Coke machine where you can have up to like over 100 different varieties of drinks. It's delicious.
Touch screen?
What? Yes, with the touch screen.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Yeah, have you used one yet?
Yeah, they have them at Five Guys.
Yes, Five Guys has them. My Burger King, which is like 5 minutes away, has one now, and I love it. It's my favorite thing ever. So I love it. I am in love with Fanta Cherry Zero, and you can't get it any other way. You can also get Powerade Zero Cherry through the machine as well, and again, you can't get that any other way. So I might move into Burger King.
So do those machines like have RC products in them?
It's just Coke.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, I've been wanting for, you know, 15, 20 years, like a fountain cherry RC.
Yeah, that could be good.
There. hang in there because if this is as big of a success as it sounds like, everybody else will be doing it.
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping they do. Hey, let's go ahead and go on in the news. So we have a release date for Fall of Cybertron, which is what, August 28th. Maybe I'll finish War for Cybertron before that.
You should, Brian.
Maybe I'll own War for Cybertron by then.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah. We got a new trailer as well, but the trailer is kind of yawn. Like,
huh? It's on GameStop.com.
Is it boring? I heard this trailer isn't that great.
I thought it was good. I don't know if anybody else did, but...
Here's the thing, though. Earlier this week, they promised a gameplay trailer, and I saw no evidence of actual gameplay in this trailer.
What are you talking about? They showed 1 second of Grimlock gameplay trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, pardon me.
Yeah. Stop spreading lies, XV.
But, you know,
a gameplay trailer.
I watched this because I wanted to see what the gameplay looked like, and all it was basically watching the trailer for, you know, War for Cybertron, Revenge of the Fallen.
They've showed gameplay footage before, though.
Yes. Like, yeah. Like, so I pretty much should finish War for Cybertron first. To actually save up time, I moved my Xbox into the office here so that I'm in this room more than any other room in the house. That way I don't have to fight with Kim for control of the big TV. So maybe I'll get a chance to play through that. But, of course, I haven't played Street Fighter Cross Tekken since John and I were streaming it a few weeks ago.
No comment on that game.
Yeah, I don't get a chance to play much of anything. Okay, so also we got pictures of Zombie Cliffjumper. It's the Takara Tomy version.
Nice.
He's purple, or is that just bad coloring?
No, it looks like clear purple to be, like, dark energy.
I thought it was supposed to be blue.
Well, that was a Photoshop job, so...
Gotcha. Is this the only zombie cliff jumper that I'll be able to get?
As of right now, yes.
What it seems like, yeah.
Damn it.
I mean, it's vaguely possible that the mold might come out in the U.S. Prime line, but I kind of doubt it.
Okay, I'll have to get this. Damn it.
Why would they give you
you have to remember, too, though, since it's coming with, all the Japanese Prime toys after the first edition stuff has been cheaper than usual for Transformers Deluxes in Japan because they've had less paint applications and the mini-cons are coming unassembled.
They're coming unassembled? Really? So this picture, it looks more like a mech tech weapon than a mini-con.
It's a
mini-con.
I believe I see stickers.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it just not painted? Is this a prototype or something? Or is it that the color of it?
Which one?
His weapon. It's a mini-con. I didn't jump to the next shot. It's like a little Ravage or something.
Yeah. It's movie Ravage-ish.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. That's
Except with saws for legs.
I'd buy that for $1.
Why wouldn't you want saws for legs? Seriously.
No, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's movie Ravage with saws for legs.
That makes it way more awesome, actually.
Oh, there he is. That's right.
Yeah, pretty sweet. Pretty sweet.
I like saws. Saws for legs.
Okay. Well, this next bit of news sort of goes into spoiler territory, so I'm going to preface. If you don't want to be spoiled about the last episode of Transformers Prime, which we are going to review...
Immediately after.
Close your ears or skip ahead. So if you liked Dreadwing in this past week's episode of Prime and Dreadwing, a.k.a., I guess, Rampage. Well, no, yeah, he would have been Rampage. Well, that's more spoiler information. Yeah, so we'll be getting a Voyager version in Wave 3. Instead of Skyquake.
Yeah.
I like it. And I think Dreadwing is what we were talking... What we thought was Depth Charge, I believe, XV.
Yeah,
during...
the Cyberverse version bears some resemblance in color
scheme
to Depth.
In the show, he bears, to me, resemblance to Depth Charge, which I think...
Yeah, but the colors are so desaturated in the show that it's not as evident.
I think it's intentional. I think the character or the episode may be intentional in a way... Because this past episode of Prime, which we'll talk about, which was Loose Cannons, was basically, what was it, Deep Metal? the Beast Wars episode. Yeah, I mean, Hook's and I were talking about that. Hook's and I were talking about that on Twitter this weekend. Basically, you have a depth charge rampage sort of vibe going on. But in this one, Dreadwing is the one that looks like Depth Charge. To me, he really looks like Depth Charge. So I'm almost thinking that the characterization or the episode or the plot is maybe based around that a little bit. Or maybe that was what gave somebody the idea to go in that direction. So basically what happened in the episode is Wheeljack showed back up. And, of course, he was engaging Dreadwing in combat because he was chasing him because Dreadwing killed Sea Spray. Yeah.
No.
I actually rewound that scene a couple times over because I wanted to make sure I didn't miss like a shot of what would have been Transformers Prime Sea Spray. But because they didn't use him, of course, they're not going to build the model. So, right. Yeah. So, but basically the whole episode was Wheeljack trying to get revenge on Dreadwing, and it ended up with Dreadwing basically saying, "I'll do whatever you want, Megatron," and Wheeljack saying, "I'll stay, sort of." So that's basically Brian's synopsis.
I'll stay, but not here.
Yeah, that's Brian's synopsis of this episode. So, yeah. What did you guys think?
No, I mean that's about the substance of it.
My problem.
Wheeljack
okay,
was a dick, and then he drove off at the end.
So this was the first post. Operation Bumblebee episode, right? We didn't have that was
yeah.
So okay, Operation Bumblebee was like a breath of fresh air. I didn't get a chance to talk about this.
Half of it was a breath of
fresh air. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to talk about this because I wasn't on the show. JD was hosting. One thing that I really liked about Operation Bumblebee, and of course it is because I'm biased towards Marty Eisenberg, but Marty Eisenberg is, you know, he's steeped in the lore because he helped create a lot of it. He's a great writer, most of all. So, in just like one-off phrases where Ratchet was able to, you know, insert the notion that, you know, messing with the Transformers cog was like something that only a ghoul, you know, someone like it's a moray. He was able to say with like in one sentence what, you know, Transformers Prime, if they went in that direction, would take like 30 seconds for, you know, the characters to get the point across. He's such a great writer that he's able to add, you know, he's able to imply things that, you know, you can infer, you know, easily, and he can speed the story along and add depth to it. And we really haven't had that. And this episode really basically brought us back into a pre-Operation Bumblebee mold because it's more of the same sort of highly two-dimensional characterization and storytelling. It wasn't bad. I can't think of an episode of Prime that's been really bad. I can't think of one. But I still am not in love with the show.
Well, there was an episode with Miko in the museum.
Huh.
That was pretty bad.
Miko in the museum, that's all you have to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I mean,
it's that one episode of Voyager, but JD's like,
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, it's one episode of but again, the show is not bad. It's just kind of boring. It's pretty, but it's kind of boring.
Yeah, it lacks a little something. But yeah. You know, part one of Operation Bumblebee was exactly the show I want.
Part one of Operation Bumblebee was fantastic. And part two,
give me that every week, I will be very happy.
And part two is still better than most other episodes of Prime. It was basically any other episode of Prime, but it was still a little better. It had the most predictable ending ever and all that, but, you know.
Yeah.
Episode 1 was fantastic. I loved Episode 1. So I know Amy really likes this show, and tell me why I'm wrong.
Why you're wrong that you're not enthusiastic about it?
No, why I'm wrong that it's boring and sort of flat.
I can't make you change your mind, Brian.
You don't have to make me change my mind. Just tell me why.
Okay, well, I've enjoyed it. Like I said, the whole target audience are kids, and my kids enjoy it. I've enjoyed it. This is the first show that I've had a chance to see. I wasn't like really into the fandom when they had animated. So for me, this is like my opportunity to see a show that's being aired right now, and I get to see it, and so I'm enthusiastic just because of that.
That's totally reasonable too.
Yeah, But then on top of that, I mean, I think they're doing a great job. I'm enjoying what I'm seeing. I'm really not looking for a reason to knock it either. I mean, they're not having any morals to the story or anything like that, but I'm just enjoying it. You know, I can't explain it other than the fact that I'm just so thrilled that it's on TV right now, and I get to show it to my kids, and I get a chance to see it as it's happening, like I did back when I was a kid and watching G1. So that's probably why I enjoy it so much right now. But stories are working for me, so.
Okay, Don's comment is awesome. Just make Miko a Target Master, Wrath a Power Master, and make Jack a Headmaster for RC. I love Don.
Awesome.
Don, our friend Don is famous in the fandom, though, for mentioning every BotCon up until, like, 03, that he wanted them to pull out that Headmaster RC mold that had been worked up. So that's just that Don going back in the closet.
You mean the pink chrome dome?
The pink chrome dome. I think he must have been talking about the pink chrome dome. Hey, Don, were you talking about the pink chrome dome? Yeah, and the Bantor comment in Operation Bumblebee was hilarious. I laughed.
They also threw in Fusor, which
is yes. Cool. Well, yeah, Bantor, yeah, the Bantor comment was the Fusor comment. Cool. I love that. But yeah, that was hilarious. That was fantastic. I love that. Okay, so, I actually got into an argument with TFG1 Mike this weekend. I think he told me that I obviously don't like Transformers.
Oh, wow.
Obviously.
Brian, you don't.
Yeah.
I mean,
let's have this plastic crack around, Brian, then.
Yeah.
You don't have a show.
I don't like Transformers.
Yeah. This show's a joke. It's just a big troll.
We're just here for the food. We're here for the cake.
If anyone was going to put on a big bowl for 13 years...
Yeah.
It was. I ate it all.
Yeah, there's cake in the Subway.
I love it. I love it. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to the comic news this week from Amy and Rob's TFBBQ. We were talking about fan conventions earlier, and Rob is one of the organizers of SavCon, and he is going to be talking about that. So we'll be back right after this.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages. It's time now for TF Barbecue with Rob Springer.
Hey guys, it's Rob. This week I wanted to talk a little bit about something very close to my heart, and that's SavCon. You know, I've always wanted to organize my own Transformers fan convention. You know, I've organized some fan meetups, and I've always wanted to do something like this. And being on the board, I get to help out, and it's like a dream come true for me. You can go to our site at savcon.net. And even though this might come off like a cheap plug or whatever, I really don't mean it to. I just wanted to kind of tell you guys, we worked really hard to put together a really fun weekend for you. Now, Saturday and Sunday, the 23rd and 24th of June, whole weekend for $30. And let me show you some of the guests we have. You know, Greg Berger, Grimlock himself. And dude, he was Skyfire and like Spirit on G.I. Joe. And man, he's Odie on Garfield. That's him. That's Odie. And for you Police Academy guys, here's a mission to Moscow, you know. And Neil Kaplan, you know, he's a really great guy, and he does a lot of work in anime and stuff, and he's been on Digimon, but we all know him as being Optimus Prime and Robots in Disguise. Now, he's done some other work, too. And for you guys who are gamers, he was Captain, I think it's Tychus Finley or whatever, I can't say his name, I'm sorry, in StarCraft, and you know. From what I hear, that's a very popular game series. Now, this one's someone Brian and me will totally get our things up. This is Lee Tokar. He's the voice of Ravage in the Beast Wars episode, The Agenda. You know, I am Major Ravage. Blah, 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 blah. Or, like me and Brian, where am I floating in space like this? Kind of looks like you're talking when I do that, doesn't it? Getting dizzy yet? Yes. Oh, okay. He's in the middle. And Daniel Rosser, he's a fan like you and me. But he's managed to do some official voice work. And in, it's the 2007 DS movie games for Transformers. He's the voice of Starscream. And if you played the Decepticons cartridge, you heard him the entire game And that's pretty cool that, you know, Fan got to do some official stuff like that. Here's some of our guest panelists. This is Alex Yu and John Poino. They're going to be running some of my panels showing you how to do some of the things they do. And I think that's pretty darn cool. You know, we've really worked hard to just provide everything we can for the fans. And, I mean, this is by the fans and for the fans, meaning we're trying our best and working really hard. I mean, it's a labor of love to give you guys just a very fun weekend. And we really would like to see everyone there. If you can't make it, I understand. I mean, if it was up to me, I'd be at every single Transformers convention there is. But unfortunately, I don't think my budget allows that. It's just expensive and sometimes hard to do. But as you can see, from Friday, from the minute you pretty much get there to pre-register, to like late at night Sunday, actually, last thing is 7 p.m., goes to 7 p.m. on Sunday. We have this whole weekend chocked of nothing but fun for all you guys. And I'd really, we got like a concert Friday night for pre-registrants. Tailorine Irene, I can't say it. You guys should know by now I have a hard time saying some words. Specifically one that I've said 1,000 times. And she does nerdcore, like, you know, nerdy rap stuff. And she's really popular in the Savannah area. She's performing a Transformers-themed concert for pre-registrants. And about the same time, Mega Toy Fan is going to be holding a parts party in their hotel area after hours, so you guys can go up and do some pre-con shopping if you want. One thing that's really cool is cosplay for your for a cure. Basically, mean we got let's see, what, how's it called? We got the pink fire truck and pink police car, where they basically are. Look at this. I'm trying to let you guys see the thing. Raising donations for cancer awareness. And you know what? We believe in giving back to the community any way we can. And by having, you know, fun things work the way I'm in it, it works out. At this point, I know I'm just kind of showing you a screen you could be looking at yourself. And Lord, I'd wish you'd just look at it. Because we've really worked out. We got some custom cars that are going to be in the parking lot. We've got Bumblebee, Cliffjumper, and a Galvatron. Pretty cool stuff. I don't know what else to say, guys. I just, you know, part of the fun thing about being a fan is interacting with other fans and having fun with them. And, you know, we work really hard to give you guys a good time. And I'd really like to see how you guys come out. And it's really late and I'm going to bed. So I'm going to turn it back to the guys at with Brian and Peter and JD and John and Exy and Amy and Marcia and Greg. And they're gonna high five and power up. Cause that's where they're. Look at our hotel. That's a pretty nice hotel. You could be here enjoying Transformers with us. It's a pretty nice room, isn't it? Yeah. And there's like places to go. There's like a Paula Deen's nearby, guys. You guys could eat at Paula Deen's restaurant. That's right. You could possibly run into Paula Deen and be slightly afraid she's going to eat your head with those big white teeth. That's not enticing you to come, I know, but maybe she'll high-five you. Yeah. All right. Colton, peace out, Colton. Watch RFC. Help me float in space. Yes. Okay. Back to you guys.
In the beginning came the beasts and all that creeps, crawls, and flies. But nature lies, they're robots in disguise. Beast Wars, the next step in Transformer evolution is here. New Maximals, heroic animals battle the evil reptile and insect forces of the Predacons. They fight tooth and claw. Heroic Dinobot attacks. Morphs from Raptor Beast. Into vicious robot with spinning Velociraptor blades. Evil Waspinator full of venom changes like never before, from insect to high-tech, and puts the sting on Cheetor. But there's more to Cheetor than meets the eye. Under the skin lurks a robot within. with hidden weapons firing. But treacherous tarantula mutates and counterattacks. Charging, slashing, blasting, all new Beast Wars. The next step in Transformer evolution is here. And when you buy the Maximal Predacon 2-pack, you get a free Beast Wars comic book.
Beast Wars!
Each sold separately.
Maximal Heroes battle Predacon creeps. There's much more than meets the eye to new Mega Beasts.
Beast Wars!
Evil Transkinos out for blood. Triple Transformers, from bug to slashing attack mode to bug ugly robot. But heroic ba-booms going ape! This beast triple changes to blasting battle mode to awesome battle bot. From beast to bot, the action's three times as hot.
Beast Wars!
New Mega Beast sold separately.
Let me throw this at you. The sign that a toy line is getting too old and too stale for its own good is when it has a quote-unquote classics line running concurrently with the so-called contemporary line. Then you're starting to see like this weird kind of folding over of old ideas and new ideas and catering to multiple targets. And that's not a good thing.
Much as I hate to say it, it's really not. I mean, I like the things. I mean, as a fan, obviously, I like the things catered to me. But I wonder how healthy they are for brands in the long run. I have to think not terribly, because you know, back on Marvel again, I've thought that one of the big problems that they have is catering to that tiny little core. And when you are so laser focused on a fan base and not worrying about bringing anybody new in and not and getting to the point where you don't even know how anymore, there's nothing it can do but shrink.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, because the people who are listening to you, they're getting older and they're dropping off. They're not adding. I mean, they're not growing. They only are what they are. They can only get smaller. You're right. You're right. And that's the way Transformers has been for a long time now. It's probably been, it's been at least, what, 10 years since we've had a line of Transformers for the kids and nothing else around it that catered to older fans, multiple generations of fans. I guess, I don't know, if you go back to anything after RID, I guess, after RID hit, then all of a sudden they splintered into Alternators, Armada, Classics, Generations, all that stuff started to like happen all at once. The Masterpiece line.
Yeah. And what's getting really kind of dangerous is where, I mean, Generations has outperformed Dark of the Moon at just about every store I can see. I can't find Generations anymore, anywhere around here. Not even, you know, Sky Shadow and Junk Heap, the most recent ones. But I can, you know, there's still Dark of the Moon stuff that has not moved since last July.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I think a lot of that stuff's probably going to end up just at TJ Maxx and Ross and Tuesday Morning and that kind of stuff. That's sad. That's sad, too. And yeah, the thing about it is with Transformers right now is, I mean, you're right. I don't think I'd be shocked if pound for pound Generations wasn't running laps around everything else. Not that it's going to be making a ton of money. It's just a very small line. But pound for pound, it probably does quite well. It's got zero fiction. It caters to the wrong audience, frankly, if you want to have a long-term success. But it's working. It's got zero support, like I said, in the fiction and marketing and things like that. I don't know. I don't know if that's a compliment to long-term fans or an indictment on what they're doing to get new fans. It's probably both. It's sad that this year, I guess 2013 is going to be the year of classics again, I guess.
Seems like it. I mean, I know there is a certain amount of crossover and that they kind of plan for that. They try and make the collector-oriented lines, the Marvel Universe, the classics, and Star Wars vintage. They try and make it all, you know, appealing to kids as well as adults. I'm pretty sure that adults are the, you know, main purchasers of those lines, mainly because, you know, I doubt anybody 13 years old is going to know who Darkhawk is, for one. But I, you know, I sometimes I wish I could get a look at the numbers and see what's going on, because I don't know that I would know what to do with it any better than Hasbro would. But I'd just like to see if there's any way of telling, you know, what is bought by and for adults and what is bought by and for children, and see where we are. Yeah. And I have a feeling that information is just so hard to get that even, you know, Hasbro has to rely on secondary sources like fan feedback and such to figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know. I mean, I can tell you from working in a different part of retail that it's really hard to figure out who a product is intended for when it's bought. So, because the best you can do is a combination of exit surveys, exit interviews when people are leaving their home, mm-hmm. and just follow up surveys like through email and through the mail and that kind of thing. Because at the point of purchase, and this is difficult for retailers who deal with adults, and I'm sure it's super difficult for businesses that cater to kids. Because at the point of purchase, all you have is the credit card that it was purchased with. Mm. And that's always an adult's credit card. In very rare cases, it's a teenager. Their name may be on the credit card, but it is not, in toys, it is certainly not the end user. But it might be. To some, you know, for some percentage, it is the end user. But you don't know that. You can't really ever know that until you do surveys. And surveys are notoriously awful for getting information, because it's self-reporting. Self-reporting is not very good. It's never very good. It kind of is what it is. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a weird like downward spiral. And then they have the additional challenge of just the changing way of how kids play. So it's almost like I wonder if they're putting enough attention towards things like mobile gaming, console gaming for kids. Because if we're talking strictly again about maybe Transformers as kind of like certainly the cash cow that Hasbro needs it to be, I would say the vast majority of Transformers stuff right now is targeted towards teens and tweens and even young adults. When you look at the toys, the video games, the movies, everything around that stuff, it's all targeted towards a crowd that's way too old for their own good. And it seems like Hasbro, most of the time, really doesn't care. It seems like they don't care enough about the idea of like a proper target in anything but maybe the toys. So the toys, they know what they're doing. They're comfortable. Toys are for kids. And they're designed for kids. The video games, I think, based on their behavior and I guess what they've condoned, they feel it's okay for the video games to be targeted towards a little bit of an older crowd. And I don't know if that's right. I don't know if that's good. I don't know if you can have an over-the-shoulder third-person shooter that's very clearly like made for Gears of War and made by fans who want to see this gritty, all-out, very fanboyish, to be frank, very fanboyish battle on Cybertron. It's very violent and not for kids. Mm. If they think that's okay, and the absence of a kid-friendly game at the same time, there is no alternative for kids to play. If they think that's okay, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's helping. And I think that's probably more. I think these days you could argue that video games are a little bit more influential than a cartoon to a kid.
I think probably so, especially a cartoon that is scheduled very regularly on a network not everybody gets. But yeah, and that is a problem with fan influence at all levels. Again, I love fans. I am a fan. I like the stuff that is geared for us. But at the same time, you know, the people who are, you know, who were involved with this as a kid, who are working on this now, are making things that would appeal to them now. Not necessarily, you know, they're doing what they think would have appealed to them when they were kids, but memory is flexible. it's fluid. And they're not always going to, you know, not always going to be right about that. The thing in terms of the toys that I kind of had a bit of a revelation. I'm working on a review for T-Formers of one of the little Cyberverse Legion class, which we were saying on RFC this week seemed to be, you know, doing really well sales wise compared to the other formats. And yes, it's very simple. It only has like, six whole points of articulation, but I'm looking at this and going, this is exactly how Transformers worked when I was a kid. This is how they transformed. This is how it operated as a brand. And no wonder this is the most popular format, because it's pretty straightforward. It's not confusing, and it's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Because in terms of complexity for me, the second universe where we got Galvatron and things like, and Prowl and figures like that, that was pretty much the breaking point. That's where on a deluxe sized figure, they just went too far for me. They should not be that difficult to transform. And then when I picked up the Voyager Prime with the hooks that Walmart had in the two-pack this last summer, the only Dark of the Moon toy I bought, and I had to go ask for help to transform it. I've been doing this for 25, 30 years now, and I had to go get somebody who owns the toy to show me where they left two steps out of the instructions so I could actually transform it without launching the head across the room.
You know, it's funny because what you just said, you could go and put that in a time capsule and send it back 10 years, and it would be what somebody said about car robots. So it seems like they've come full circle. It seems like Hasbro right now is committing a lot of the sins that Takara did, without the help, without the financial stimulus of a blockbuster movie. Takara was doing this like 10 years ago when they brought back vehicles. Mm-hmm. Overly complicated, not kid-friendly, confusing to an adult, not fun.
Mm-hmm.
These all describe a lot of the current designs now, not targeted towards kids, really. Because, you bring up a good one. So Galvatron, so Generations Galvatron. Hasbro, the guys at Hasbro, they can convince themselves, they can tell me all day long that it's meant for kids and adults. That's not meant for kids.
No.
You can get out of here. I mean, that the whole reason that exists is to sell it to 20 and 30 somethings who remember Galvatron. Mm-hmm. A kid doesn't know who that is. And two, they're never going to transform him correctly or have fun with him. It's not a fun toy.
Yeah.
It's something for, it's an inside joke, or I mean, it's a gesture for old guys, and that's not, you're not going to get anywhere doing that. And it seems like they have, I mean, you're right. You bring up that, you know, at every corner, the brand's kind of overrun by fans now who are making it. It seems like they've really convinced themselves at Hasbro that these are good decisions, that it's okay to splinter the brand and do something completely for the old guys and then a little bit for kids, and that's called balance. And it's really not called balance. You're wasting a lot of time and energy towards something that's not going to pay off for the future, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
It is. And you know, ultimately, I think these things will be resolved, and I'm hoping that, you know, it will be a way that it at least makes, well, if not catering to older fans, does make an allowance for them. But, you know, I don't want to say that ultimately we have to, or we should, or we're supposed to grow out of these things. But we do have to accept, I think, at some point that we are not the target audience anymore, and that our enjoyment of these things may well be incidental to the company. Much as with the things I review and the things I buy, it pains me to say that, because some of the things I get, I really love, and they feel like they were made just for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to accept on some level that may not be healthy for Hasbro.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think you're right too. I mean, I think the things that please us are the things that get them in trouble a lot of times. Mm-hmm. The problem is that the guys who are working in those offices look a lot like us. They sound a lot like us. They're us. You know, mm-hmm. they just happen to take a career path in toys, in engineering, and they ended up there. A lot of them ended up there because they had to drive to end there. They wanted to be there to work specifically on Transformers, and that's great. But you know, I don't know. It's having some kind of funny results here. I'm looking at the Legion class too, real quick. I'm looking at the Legion class too, and they look like G1 toys, but like you said, in a good way though. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not G1 characters and they're not G1 designs, so it's not G1 that way. It's G1 in a way that, oh, these are kids' toys.
Yes.
Yes.
That's exactly it, and I'm not sure I get it across well enough in the review. Fortunately, I haven't published it yet, so I can go look at that. But yeah, that's exactly it. These are they're definitely kids' toys. They're aimed completely at kids. They are not, you know, grown up. They are not adult collector figures with a missile launcher strapped on. That they are actually designed for the people who should be. The people we're worried about, the people who are going to make sure that there are Transformers in 20 years. And, you know, I have a feeling that Hasbro is going to look at how much of their business is actually the Legion class, and the, you know, once the fans catch on that they are not getting as much of the attention, I have a feeling that could be messy. But it's, again, it's also probably going to be necessary. Mm-hmm. You know, I think some of the other brands might actually benefit from, you know, not having quite as many fans involved. I mean, there are obviously fan nods in the Star Wars line. There's heavy articulation designed for adults in the Star Wars line, but there are still things that are obviously just made for kids. And I think because in Star Wars there is only one kind of figure, and there's, you know, multiple kinds, but there's only one scale, that makes it a little bit easier to cater to fans without going too far down that road, because you don't have, you know, these separate things going on. You have separate elements in the same basic brand and the same basic style. And so again, this is just weird to think about, because I've been sitting here as recently as 2 days ago going, why don't these damn figures have knees? And the answer is because they are not for me, who cares about knees. They are for kids who care about having a Jedi action figure with a light up lightsaber, or, you know, something like that. It's you know, it's. I guess I'm afraid I'm starting to run back over old ground here, but it feels like that eventually, as fans, it's difficult. But you have to acknowledge that you're not the center of this universe anymore.
Yeah, you know, here's one way of putting that, I guess, to me. I feel like you and I, and honestly, the vast majority of people who say listen to a Transformers podcast, probably, mm-hmm. we've been in this game and we've been into Transformers so long that if Transformers was a healthy brand, almost we would feel like we don't get the vast majority of it. If it was a healthy kind of current brand, we wouldn't understand the vast majority of it. We would have felt at this point that whatever Transformers is has kind of left us behind, and we probably should be way more disgruntled and confused than we are. All the hit characters, or all the hit kind of tropes and notes about Transformers, should be very different than what they were when we were into Transformers. Like, they should be robots that transform and Autobots and Decepticons, and that's probably about it. And maybe there's Optimus Prime and Megatron, maybe, but they shouldn't be nearly as recognizable as they are right now. You know, we're looking at a property that is very familiar to 30-year-old men, and that's not right. It should be very, very, it should be damn near unrecognizable to us at this point, and 7 and 8-year-old boys should love it and not have to understand why their dad is into it more than they are.
Yeah.
You know, they should be the ones telling their dad why this is cool, and their dad should be the crotchety old man who talks about, you know, well, back in my days, Transformers were this, this, and this. You don't know what you're missing.
Mm-hmm.
But the kid is way into this because Transformers of today speak to him. And Transformers of today speak to us, and that's not right. And I don't see, frankly, any end to that in sight until, I guess, Hasbro gets into some serious trouble and they have to really kind of like reset and really look at things differently.
Yeah. And the one thing I want to mention in terms of the, you know, catering to fans and Transformers is that I'm kind of thinking that, especially if the costs can come down, the third party stuff may well supplant the fan-friendly contingent of Hasbro's product, because this is exactly what happened with the original 12-inch scale G.I. Joe, because eventually adult collectors who knew exactly what adult collectors wanted from these figures started making other things in 1/6 scale, and what Hasbro made in that scale for adults, they could not compete with what was being made with smaller companies like Dragon and now Hot Toys. And so they very wisely gave up on it and moved on to something that they could actually sell.
Without change, there is no victory. Beast Wars. New giant Megatron. Triple the threat. Triple the terror. Terrorize. New giant Tigerhawk. Triple the might, triple the fight. Without change, there is no victory. Beast Wars. New Megatron and new Tigerhawk. Each sold separately.
It's now time for Comic News with Amy Morgan.
Hello, this is Amy, and I'm back once again with comics news and reviews in 5 minutes. Out this week is going to be Robots in Disguise, issue number 3, and Autocracy, issue number 6, which I'm not going to review today because I'm going to put it off until next week. Just to keep time down, what can I say? You know, trying to keep it in the 5 minutes. But I will be reviewing Robots in Disguise, number 3, in a few minutes. Also, a little bit of news that I thought was kind of interesting that I thought everybody would like to know about is Nick Roach will be attending Auto Assembly 2012. So if anybody out there gets a chance to go across the pond to visit our UK friends, you will get a chance to see Nick Roach there. And we have some concept art that Alex Milne has put out on the internet. He has shared it with Full Metal Hero, so if you're interested, you can also go over there and check it out. And that is pretty much it in the way of news this week. It's pretty thin, so I am going to go ahead and review. And now for my review of Robots in Disguise, issue number 3, which is out this week. In the last issue, Ratbat was killed, and this issue is where the fallout of that happens. Sets all the action of that sets all of the factions against one another more than ever, as the blame is spread around. And in addition to that, a strange energy discharge is going off at random intervals. and it looks like a bomb. And everyone, of course, is continuing to point fingers. Oh, it's the Decepticons. Oh, it's, you know, anyhow. Wheeljack takes the stage as he tries to figure out exactly what's going on. The tension is great for the amount of blame casting that is out there. There are certainly a few moments where some of the characters are able to see past their differences. And then bombs go off and it rips those alliances apart right on the page. So it's really good. Wheeljack and Starscream end up being in the best positions by the end of this issue. So it's really interesting to see Starscream start playing this politician role that he placed himself in the last issue. And it's also nice to see Wheeljack step up and investigate the bomb problem, and the end result is quite intriguing as well. Especially when Bumblebee has to admit that Starscream actually did what was in the best interest for everyone, and that causes another unexpected division that I didn't expect. One from within the Autobot ranks. So I was like, oh my gosh, wow, the drama on the page, woohoo! The art by Andrew Griffith continues to be amazingly consistent, and it's colored beautifully by Josh Perez. One of my favorite panels in this issue is a full-page splash of RC. It's really, really lovely. And Griffith pencils a really great Wheeljack. lastly, Perez does have this really great progression from a rainy, overcast background to a night scene. And then by the end of the comic, it's this beautiful sunrise. It's quite exquisite. So there's great characterization. The conflicts are great. There's a bit of a twist. Pace is consistent. There are several parts where I laughed. Dialogue worked for me. The explosions, the action, consequences of their decisions. It's a really great issue. And I think John Barber just wrote, again, another bestseller, I'm hoping. I liked it. So I gave it another 9 out of 10 stars. So, yeah, go pick it up. It's really great. And that will be my comics news and reviews in 5 minutes. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you later.
Hello, beautiful human. I see you enjoy listening to podcasts.
Why don't you even those enough actually is towards nerdsmedianetwork.weebly.com.
Dan discovered 3 geeks talking about robots, men and with skulls, and other strange things. A good way to waste your time before the AI strikes back and removes you flashbacks from the cause. Yours, the secretary.
The old oil house. Not just robots.
We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
So during the break, we were planning out some of our BotCon hijinks that are sure to happen. Exciting times. Exciting times.
XV is bringing a duck.
XV is bringing a duck.
A live duck.
Yes. Okay, so I guess let's go ahead and jump into our third-party roundup. So Dr. Wu, and I have no idea. Dr. Wu has to be like a single person that's doing this, not like a organized group like iGear or something, right?
Like literally one person?
I'm assuming. I don't know.
Like Dr. Wily?
Dr. Wily. He is evil, and he is trying to get Mega Man, and he is actually cranking out some molds in his basement to make a Wheeljack faceplate upgrade. So,
because we all clamored for it.
We all clamored for it. Looks good.
It sure is a prime faceplate.
Yeah, I mean, it looks...
Did they make Wheeljack, like, look sleep-deprived? Are his eyes that baggy in the show?
Yeah, actually, yeah. I would say they are.
They are?
Of people watching video live, here's what...
This is pretty accurate to the face on the show.
Yeah,
get some rest.
The toy here, he has a just a G1-esque faceplate. You know, I was telling a friend of mine, and I think I mentioned this on the show before, he was asking before about... Sky Shadow, which, of course, is the equivalent, the homage to what? Dark Shadow?
Black Shadow.
And he was asking, is it G1? I'm like, yeah. It's like, so which season was it on? Like, well, it wasn't on 7. Any of it. Yeah. But I was thinking that if you didn't get the Generations Wheeljack, honestly, I think that the Prime Wheeljack is a perfectly fine stand-in for G1 Wheeljack. He's close enough. Plus, you get swords. So,
yes,
I'm kind of wanting to see that one redone as Chrome Dome.
Yeah.
This one, the Prime one.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Then I want to see it repainted pink.
Right.
RC.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So
he'd make a fine female.
Make a fine female RC. Okay. Now this is pretty cool. I'm not crazy about the overall look of it, but iGear is doing a Sharkticon. It's TF-005 Shark Sentry. I would say that iGear is probably the ones who are probably knocking this stuff out the best, the most. Look at this. People watching the video. He has this little flexible tail. And he has flexible antennae. Robot mode is kind of boring looking, but so was Gnaw. Really, Gnaw was pretty boring.
In robot mode. Yeah.
So, honestly, his tail looks like something, and I don't want to say what it looks like. But it's not a bad looking toy. iGear is doing a great job, honestly. And that's for me to say that. That's considering I hated these things to begin with. They've really won me over. I ordered Rager, terrible name, but I'm looking forward to getting that. That was really pretty cheap.
Which one is that?
Huffer. If this thing wasn't like $100, I would totally get this.
Is he going to be that much?
Probably.
He's but a deluxe, essentially.
They've been trying to make this thing for years, though.
Yeah.
A Sharkticon?
Yeah.
He's okay. I'm not digging like the legs in robot mode. They don't feel right. They feel kind of like generic deluxe legs. But otherwise, he's nice.
The
Sharkticon mode's awesome.
Yeah. Yes. Actually, I probably should show that.
I mean, that's clearly what he was meant to be in. Yeah. 90% of the time.
Let me go back. The shark mode is pretty flippin' fantastic.
Yeah. Perfect face.
Too bad you can't. Too bad this is too freaking expensive to buy like 50 of. You know.
Yeah. Do you want Hercules or five of this?
Basically, actually, what I'm really pleased with though is the Make Toys Giant. Is it Giant or is it like Colossus or something?
No, Giant.
We get to see part of Giant put together, and it looks pretty flippin' sweet. I don't have a Hercules to compare it to. And I haven't really done a lot of in-depth comparison, but it's really nice. I mean, both are pretty great, honestly.
If it was 90% more orange, I'd be seriously considering it.
I mean, look at that.
I appreciate the giant screwdrivers.
Yes.
Yeah.
They would be 30 feet long.
Can you actually use them?
Yeah. I hope so. I hope they're functioning.
It honestly would be probably cheaper.
How hard would it be to get, you know, metal screwdriver ends to put in
it there? Would probably be cheaper to buy screwdrivers than it would be to mold plastic screwdrivers.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, they are in China. So
yeah. Great looking set. Now, what's the price on this going to be? Do we have any idea?
Okay, what these are doing, they're coming in two packs, and I know at least on Big Bad Toy Store, they're selling for about 120%.
So it is cheaper than Hercules, but it's smaller,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, it's smaller.
Yeah.
These figures are each about deluxe in size, if I remember correctly, whereas so the Hercules components were closer to Voyagers.
So it sounds like they're about $20 to $30 cheaper per toy, I guess.
$40.
About $40. Well, Hercules were what, like right at 80, 90?
I thought they were 100.
Yeah. Were they 100?
They were about $80 a piece.
Okay. So yeah, they're about $20 cheaper each.
Okay, so about $120 cheaper maybe in theory.
Yeah.
All right.
You're only getting two. So yeah, it's about $40 cheaper.
Yeah.
Total. Mm. So another third party that's coming along is this Bold Toys. Now, is Bold Toys new to the scene?
First time I've heard the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are making a Megatron, and right now it's just a render, so who knows if it'll ever come out. But this is what they're looking at. I would say it's probably a little truer. It doesn't look as creepy as Hegemon does. Hegemon just it's cool looking, but at the same time, creepy. I would say that making a cool-looking Megatron that also becomes a cool-looking gun that's faithful is not necessarily a fool's errand, because I don't think it's doable. I just don't know that it's worth the effort.
Right.
I mean,
I think the best we're going to get along that line anyway, it's not exactly faithful to the original designs, but, you know, Classics Megatron, I think, did the concept the best.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Hasbro goes out and tries to make, like, the most awesome-looking gun ever. One, because they probably couldn't sell it. But two, because what's the point? I mean...
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. It's okay. I'm not getting it. I have no interest. But, no. You know.
Every time I see a take on G1 Megs, I'm reminded how out of place his design is with everything else, really.
It's actually, such a
weird robot mode, and the gun is, you know, just kind of a meme at this point.
Diecast.
Hasbro actually did do a really good, pretty faithful gun Megatron.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With the cap and everything.
yes.
Yeah, Diecast was asking about what about Masterpiece Megatron. He kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Kinda. Yeah. Completely. Oh, my gosh.
So, I guess XV actually had pinged me like 2 or 3 weeks ago about the next item. So we get Xervergen trailer TF01.
We're going with crossover gen until somebody tells us otherwise.
Yeah, crossover gen, that makes sense. So you'll have to tell me what is actually included in this. Does it include the God Bomber part? Is that basically it's a God Bomber?
I don't think so, because it's showing with, you know, a G1 cab, a Classics cab, and I think that's just an original God Bomber.
Yeah, so that's the one thing that I wasn't certain about, because a God Bomber kit would be pretty awesome, but it's the original God Bomber kit, or it's really freaking close to it. But it's basically a Power Master shell, armor, and everything for...
Articulated.
Yeah, articulated for Classics Prime, and... it's pretty nice. I mean, I got to give him that. I like that.
I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, like actual cast plastic and color and everything.
Yeah.
You know, seeing a more completed stage of it, but it's pretty appealing looking.
It is. I've always been a fan of Power Master Prime. As a kid, he was the only Prime I ever had, and because of that, I've always been a fan of Jinrai and God Jinrai as well. Actually, my God Jinrai is on my mantle above the fireplace with my Metroplex.
Wow.
I won that battle. Nice. Kim let me do that.
Nice.
Yeah, he's...
What
did
you have to concede to get that?
nothing, actually. I just had to keep complaining and complaining and complaining that I didn't have anything
please,
up there.
Please, please. She just said, just get the darn thing, so you shut up!
and the cool thing, it looks like the head... clips on like from a panel in the back, unlike the original Power Master Prime, which of course he plug his head into the little hole, and mine actually broke. So my original Power Master Prime has the peg broken off in the back of the head. So that's pretty cool. I really do. I have to say I really am pretty excited about this one. Do we have any idea whatsoever what this will cost?
I don't think so. They probably don't know yet.
It will cost a lot.
Yeah.
It will cost.
It's going to be at least on the order of City Commander, and I'm thinking probably closer to $150.
And I would say it's probably worth it. Ish.
If it keeps going in that direction. I mean, it looks good so far.
And probably the most what the hell inspiring third-party item is the
award for why.
Yeah, Ghost in the Machine Eye of Metroplex. I guess they're going to have the Transforming Cog next.
Yeah.
Variant version really did a Transformers Prime upgrade.
Yeah. Yes. I don't see the point in this at all, but you know what? God bless you. You're a fan.
Sure.
You know, we go out and we create a podcast. You create Metroplex Eyes from Ghost in the Machine. That is totally awesome.
God.
Man.
So, I wonder if they fit in Unicron.
That would be nice.
That would, yeah. No. So, okay. Let's go ahead and jump into our topic. So what we learned about BotCon a couple weeks ago is that Hasbro – and do we know this is from Hasbro specifically, or are we just assuming?
I think we're just assuming.
Okay, so we assume that Hasbro has put the kibosh on third-party toys at BotCon. And so that raises the question, well, is BotCon an official event by Hasbro, or is it a fan convention?
Well, it's a convention for the fans by Hasbro through their contractor Fun Publications. So,
but you, what is the requirement? I was looking. We were at one point thinking about doing a booth again. I don't think I'm going to, but I was looking over the requirements for the tables and booths, and you have to have what 60%, 70% Transformers related stuff.
And you can't have any unlicensed merchandise.
Yeah, but
they have the right to confiscate it.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to have to come down on the side that I don't agree with this. I think that BotCon to me is a fan gathering. That's the way I view it. Of course, it's a business. FunPub has to make a living. Hasbro has to, you know, make a living. I understand that. But the value that I get out of BotCon is that it's a fan experience. And in the last couple of years, these third-party items have become, you know, maybe not a major, but a sizable component in the whole fan profile. So,
well, okay. I mean, look at it from this perspective. You know, some of the bigger message board communities have now spun off third-party discussion into dedicated forums because it was becoming such a source of, you know, source of posting. It was drowning out a lot of other stuff.
We do a week of it a month.
Exactly.
We do 12 episodes a month dedicated to it because we could talk about it every week.
Yeah, I mean, it's becoming very, very prominent in the fan consciousness to the point where it has to be split out from the ordinary discussion because it's just going to overwhelm everything else.
Yes.
The part about this that bugs me is that, you know, not so much the fact that they're wanting to ban third-party stuff specifically. I understand why they'd want to do that. The language is very vague. What the language in the contract boils down to is if we see anything at your table that we don't like, we can take it and we get to keep it.
Which is crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
So how many Supercocks are they going to confiscate this year?
However,
I haven't seen Supercock in a while, sorry.
So while the wording was vague, it has been confirmed by Pete Sinclair that, yes, third party is banned. And they will not give you a list of what is allowed and what is not.
Yeah,
If it does not say copyright Hasbro or copyright Takara Tomy anywhere on the packaging or anywhere on the toy or anything like that, assume that it is illegal merchandise.
That sucks.
Well, that actually makes me wonder because I was actually thinking about bringing like shirts to sell, and I'm considered basically a third party company.
You are.
If I bring something, so I'm like, I don't have a table. I was just going to kind of, sell things like just by whoever just shows up and says, "Hey, I want a shirt." But then I'm like, maybe I won't.
That brings up another point too, which is that it's questionable about what kind of fan art can be displayed and or sold in artist alleys this year.
This starts getting into some crazy territory.
Yeah.
Starts opening up a lot of possibilities and a lot of issues. I guess unless they submit it for fan art or something like that or contests and stuff, I guess it's okay. But if they try to sell it or something like that, then you're pretty much,
Well, then all of the artists that are going to be in Artist Alley are going to be a little upset because, like, some of them already have prints that they've made that are not necessarily being printed in a comic book, but, you know, how are they going to be able to sell their other prints then? Especially if it has, like, Transformers on it. Are they going to come up to them and take the prints right off their table?
Probably not. I think it's mostly going to be targeted to the third-party toys, but your issue about your clothing is, who knows? I do think it's probably targeted, but it's until we get there, it's going to be impossible to know.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that this could be a tiered response system you know, the first stage is they will ask you, okay, remove the unofficial stuff from your table and continue business
like,
as usual.
It's like, sir, please remove the Warbot Defender from your table. Please remove the Warbot Defender immediately or it will be confiscated.
Yeah, right. I mean, they can't obviously come out and say these unlicensed objects are okay and these aren't. But, you know, what it's all going to come down to, and there's no way to know until you get there, is how this will be enforced.
Yeah.
Because wording is just the wording is not enough information to know what's going to happen to you when you get there. So it's going to be a really interesting BotCon this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I have a feeling that it will be a person with a gigantic stick. Selling third party.
And, you know, we were thinking, when JD was on Superhero Time this week, we were talking about this a little bit. And basically what we're thinking is that a big motivator for this happening was last year TF Source had basically 90% third-party product on their table, which was one of the largest in the dealer room.
Oh my God.
You know, response to that, Hasbro's like, okay, that is not going to happen again.
You know what's funny about that, though? You know what the sad part of that is? A lot of the reason for that is because they put out uninspiring product. So the dealers aren't going to put out Hasbro product when there's A, not a lot of it, and B, everybody's bored to death by it.
So, BotCon, how much stuff is new stuff compared to old stuff, typically? It's mostly old stuff.
It's mostly old stuff, except
for Takara stuff.
We'll see. Okay, so that's one thing. So you remember years in the past where there were like hot toys that everybody was looking out for, like actual official hot toys.
Yeah, like that red Skyfire or whatever it was.
Even like some lines that kind of began around the time of BotCon. Everybody was looking for.
Oh yeah, red started. I found red like 2 weeks before. I mean, that was definite timing. Beast Machines, I think, was hot.
I remember at BotCon 2002, I think they were giving away first wave Armada Deluxes at the dinner, where a lot of people had already been able to find those in stores at that point.
Yeah, right. But it was top of mind. It was kind of hot.
Yeah.
And you also remember, I'm sure, in the lobby, people buying and selling stuff that they found at local Toys R Us and Targets and things like that. It was because people cared about the official toys that were out at that time.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen anymore.
When I'm at the store, when I'm at, you know, Walmart, wherever, I go look at the G.I. Joe stuff, if they have it. I look for Bot Shots, and I look at Lego, and that's about it. I typically skip over the Hasbro. I mean, over the Transformers stuff.
So that's not.
There's a lot of times where I will be out doing my grocery shopping. I'm like, do I want to go pop into Walmart? Well, no, because they don't have anything I want to buy.
I do like the Prime toys, but I have all of them that I want. I have Ratchet.
That's exactly where I'm at now, too. I bought my Ratchet. I'm pretty much satisfied for the moment.
Yeah.
This year might be the year of the first edition Primes.
That's true.
Yeah, for $100 each.
Right. And that's all people have on their dealer table.
Just to build on top of that, John, what you were saying about TF Source dedicating so much space to like the make toys, and then iGear was like, we're going to show off our partner products there. We're going to, Captured Prey was doing Master Shooter stuff and everything. So it was definitely last year. It was definitely a year of the third party people showcasing brand new stuff.
It was.
And I'm pretty sure. I mean, they definitely last year was like, okay, Hasbro had some stuff. But it was like movie stuff, and you're like, okay, the same old ideas, just in a different packaging.
Yeah.
So,
their displays, every year their displays seem to get a little sadder and also a little less full of stuff we haven't seen. It's like stuff. Oh,
well, that
like,
may change this year with a bunch of generation stuff in the works for next year.
I think
year.
Most of the generation stuff we'll see will be during the PowerPoint.
Most likely, but I imagine. Like, I imagine there might be a Starscream prototype on hand.
I think what I expect to see, I expect to see the Takara Rumble and Frenzy, and they'll probably just throw that in the glass because, they dropped the $40 or whatever to pick that up. and we'll see
before
a lot of
the convention, I guess.
Yeah, before the convention. Then we'll see a lot of stuff that, you know, is coming out in the next couple of months. But I really expect to see most of the generation stuff during the PowerPoint.
Yeah, it's fair.
Yeah, and it's going to be what, Bruticus again, maybe a more complete Bruticus.
Oh, we'll see that. We'll definitely see that.
Yes. Yeah, but again, that'll be like, if they treat that as like the showcase, that's something we've seen for like 6 months at this point, four or five.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We get that a lot now. And maybe that's the fault of the internet, but it's also the fault of them for not really keeping us all.
You know what I'm actually, I am looking most forward to, though, will be to see if FunPub was able to surprise us with any BotCon exclusives that we haven't seen. I mean, of course, I'll be disappointed when basically all I see is the Octopunch and whatever else. But in 2010, that was the last one I went to. I think there's a couple of things that I didn't know would be there that ended up showing up.
They did a couple years ago. It leaked a lot. Actually, last year they were pretty good at keeping.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping the lid on stuff, so seems like this year it's the same, other than Octopunch.
Yeah, I will. But I don't expect to see a lot, really. It's a fan thing. I'll go to interact with my friends that I've known for a decade and a half. Dear God, which scares me. I'll go to do more interaction with our listeners and our fans, and maybe try to drum up some fans. Maybe reach out to some people that we haven't reached out to before. But
I'm going to ruin the seats in Brian's new car.
Yes, XB is going to take a dump in my car. Basically, he was like, well, there's a Little Caesars like a block from my house. How about we get a couple pizzas? And I'm like, my car's got leather seats. It's brand new. We're not eating pizza in it.
Of course, pizza sauce is an excellent weather conditioner.
Guess what, Brian? I'm not going to shower for days, and then I'm going to lay over your backseat. Yeah.
I like to drive naked. Yeah. How about that?
But yeah, so I don't expect to see a lot there, but I don't care. I really I do. I love interacting with people. It's actually one of the reasons I shared this via email with the guys, and I'll mention it here. We had been looking at getting a table or a booth, and we had a booth in 2010, and it was fun, but I really felt like I was a slave to it, that I had to be there and I had to check it. And our neighboring booths also didn't like it when we walked away, because that had a big hole there where, people could go up and steal stuff. So they were always angry when we weren't there. And but most of all, I really didn't get a chance to interact with my friends, which one of the reasons that I really didn't get to is because they all wanted to go to Disney and I didn't. But, that's one thing that I want to remedy this year, is I want to have more interaction with people. And I don't think that being tied to a booth will do it. So, but so a month from now, we'll be at BotCon, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Holy crap.
So,
it's coming up real quick.
So tell your friends, if you have friends out there who are Transformers fans, they don't listen to RSC or they don't know. Let them know. Tell them to listen to RSC, because we will be covering the convention wall to frickin' wall. So it's going to be huge. We're going to RSC and T-Formers will have the best coverage of BotCon possible. It's going to be awesome. I am super stoked. So tell your friends if they can't go. If they can go, tell them we'll get together. We really need to do some sort of hangout or something.
Yep.
We have
to. I agree with that.
So if you have any ideas for a hangout, or you have any ideas whatsoever for BotCon, shoot us an email, contact@tfradio.net, or you can email me directly at Brian, B-R-I-A-N, @tfradio.net. I really want to know what you guys are thinking. I'm super excited about BotCon. I'm more excited about this BotCon than I have been in any recent show since at least 2005, which also was in Dallas, actually. So like I said, contact us at contact@tfradio.net with any ideas or suggestions, or just in general, any compliments, complaints, or what have you. We want to know, seriously. So let's see here. I guess that about does it. You can follow me on Twitter @bkilby, or subscribe to my Facebook at facebook.com/BrianKilby. XV, how can people reach you?
They can't.
Peter, what about you?
@Pete_Van on Twitter.
Awesome. Amy.
Yes. You can find me on Twitter @Lady of Wreck, and also on Facebook, Lady Wreck.
Awesome. Rob.
You can find me on Twitter at FoilThroughs, and you can find XV and me at FigureReviewers, and of course at FigureReviews.com.
Awesome. And John.
I ain't writing you out, dude.
That's right. That's right. Everybody troll XV immediately. Yes. you can find me on Twitter, that John D, and then follow us new_Soundwave.
And you can follow us on Twitter at TF Radio, and you can find us on Facebook. Actually, like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/TF Radio. We're about to cross 800 fans, so really need your support. Ooh. So yeah, so we're just like a couple away. So you can do that now, facebook.com/TF Radio. Great show, guys. I had a blast. It was awesome seeing Peter Hulk out. So
Peter Smash.
So that was like I said, if you're listening to the podcast version, you got an extra special little treat there in the middle. If you're watching the video version, go download the podcast, listen to it. Well, not only are we a video show, we are a podcast as well. And don't forget that you can subscribe to us on iTunes or subscribe to us via whatever pod software that you use. You can do that at tfradio.net. Well, I'm Brian Kilby for the guys. Thank you very much for watching and listening. Thank you for being a fan. We appreciate it. We love you. And we would take a bullet for you. And we may prove that at BotCon. Yes, we may. Yes, we may. Okay.
I don't know about that.
For the guys, we'll be back next week on a new day, Thursday. Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern time for those watching live at tfradio.net/live and tformers.com. Because of the schedule, Nicole will not be with us for a month or so. She has a class, but once the class is over, she will rejoin. Well, again,
that means that I'll just have to jump on.
That's one of the reasons we're doing this, because Thursdays work better for Amy. So that's exciting. We love that. We definitely want to have Amy on live. So again, for the guys, thank you very much. Thanks for watching. We'll be back next week.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.